Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. I have been asked, as we have been away for the Easter time, and that when will we get back to Isaiah? Well, if I didn't get a chance to tell you today, Isaiah chapter 55. And we will pick up where we left off. Isaiah chapter 55, dealing with the entire chapter. But let's look to verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, seek the Lord while he may be found. Pray with me. Father, we ask that we would seek the Lord. We pray, Father, that in this moment that you would touch our hearts, meet us where we are, Father, pull us to where we need to be, make a difference. Father, if anyone is in this room or listening that does not know you, let this be the time, Father, for their salvation. For every believer, everyone who professes salvation, let this be the time for following you more closely, for yielding our hearts more deeply. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a day when many things that those of us who are church people, many of those things that we have accepted as normal in our lives are being called into question. People are doing a lot of interesting things, a lot of different things. People are advertising churches now as a different kind of church. Well, let me tell you, if you're an unchurched person, any church you go to is different. And there are some things I want you to understand that will change. Change in itself is not bad, it's the kind of change. Now, while some things can change and should change, some things should not. When I came to Northside, I gave what we call a trial message. That's when they invite a preacher in that is prospective to the position of pastor, and you preach. And so I came to our chapel, and we preached the message, and I was blessed by being called to Northside Baptist Church, but it would be a few weeks before I would come as pastor. You know what the church did in my absence? They changed things. The day that I preached, they were on hard wooden pews. After they heard me once, they voted to pad those pews. Some things can change. We have changed from those pews altogether. Now we have soft seats with lumbar supports. This may surprise you. There is one church not too far from us that is proud to advertise their wooden pews that we were glad to get rid of. Change takes place and some things change. Music styles and music tastes change. But let me tell you what can't change. The message of the music. Dress has changed. When I came almost 45 years ago, it was incumbent upon me to be dressed as I am now all the time. And so whether it was during the week, whether it was a hospital call, or whether it was just cutting the grass, it was not uncommon for me to have a tie on. I had deacons that checked on such things. Praise God that we have been delivered. But how you dressed, I remember a day when every male that attended any church had a suit on. Everyone, every male wore a tie, every lady wore a dress, not just any dress, a Sunday go-to-meeting dress. You know, I have never paid much attention to what people wear. I heard recently about a pastor that came to preach his message in a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. Now, you know, I think if you're on a sandy beach, that's probably okay. But for me, I'm thankful for anybody that comes to worship the Lord. I'm thankful when you come in the door. I don't really care what you wear. I hope you wear something, and I hope it is presentable, but I don't care what you wear. But for those that stand in my position, I feel that it is incumbent upon us to dress in such a way that exhibits that we represent the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so for me, that's this. For everybody, not so much, and that's up to every individual. Change, though, is inevitable. Some things should never change. We should never change a stand on the Word of God. We should hold to God's Word in teaching, preaching, and singing. We should lift up and glorify Jesus Christ in all that we do in our lives and our worship. Since Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, that is exactly what we should do on a regular daily basis. And then that brings us to the invitation. There is an assault in churches today on giving an altar call or an invitation. Some have said, well, you're infringing on God's sovereignty when you give an altar call. Some have said it makes people feel uncomfortable when you give an altar call. Well, yeah, it's supposed to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you check out your heart and life. And if you're not right with God, it's a time to get right with God. I believe that the one who proclaims God's word in the power of God's Spirit must follow God's plan to call people to repentance and faith. And that, in God's sovereign direction, leads me to do an invitation. And I will assure you that an invitation is true to Scripture. In Genesis, the Lord stands in the door of the ark and says, come you and your family into the ark. Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. The invitation is given throughout the Bible. Will you come? Will you respond to Jesus? Will you make a move in your heart? All the way to the book of Revelations, Revelations 22, the last chapter of the Bible, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. God set the pattern of an invitation. Jesus gave forth an invitation, and his disciples did likewise. And so, when we come to the end of this service, don't be surprised when we close with an invitation. Isaiah was already given an invitation before this passage. In Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Look at the words in this chapter. Come to the waters in verse 1. Verse 3, incline your ears and come unto me. Verse 6, seek you the Lord and call upon him. This is a chapter of invitation in a book of invitation in a Bible of invitation, and that's why I give invitations. There is an invitation for the masses. Verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is an invitation first given to people in a desert. Now, if you have ever been in the desert, you can know these things. There is a lot of sand. There is a lot of sun. The one thing there is not a lot of is water. So if you spend any time in a desert place, there is going to be a lot of thirst. Did you know the Bible encourages us to drink water? Do you know that your body requires you to drink water? It is important that you have a steady intake of water. It quenches our thirst. It furnishes what we need to survive. You can live a long time without food. Oh, but only a few days without water. I never thought I would see the day when they would put water in a bottle and sell it. Now, I know that's every day, and it's common to many of you, and you've not seen it any other way. But when I was a lad of a boy, as my friend Bobby Wood used to say, when I was a lad of a boy, we traveled across the desert area of Texas. And we stopped for a meal. And when we stopped for a meal, we were all thirsty. We went in, we sat down, and we all wanted water. They told us there would be a charge. Could not believe it. My dad could not believe it. He questioned it. My mother certainly could not believe it. So here we are, three boys, our parents, we're in this place, and we're looking at a menu, and we are told that we have to pay for a glass of water. A Coke is 10 cents. Yeah, a Coca-Cola, 10 cents. Water, 25 cents. Well, certainly, we did what all young boys do when they're traveling with their parents. They get the most expensive thing. We ordered water. Well, you know, God calls us so that we might quench our thirst in His water of life. In verse 1, He speaks of them as having no money. He's not talking about the fact that they don't have shekels or dollars. He's saying they don't have what is really necessary to buy what they need most. Verse 2, why do you spend what you have for that which does not meet your needs? You know what you need most? You need salvation. You need forgiveness of sins. You need a heavenly home. That's what you need most. And let me assure you, you don't have the money for it. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. If you could, you could not afford it. If you've been looking in the wrong places and can't find peace, you got to look to where you find it, and you find it in Jesus. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Well, that's not possibly healthy, but, you know, it's come to what works. Come to what's important. Put your efforts toward what really makes a difference. It is an invitation for you to be saved. The most important thing you could ever be is saved. And this past week, we have been dealing with several people that are at the point of death, several people that are very critical. And let me tell you, the most important thing for them is salvation. And the most important thing for you is salvation. So God gives an invitation that's for everybody, and God is not willing that anybody should perish. God gives an invitation for the mercy. Incline, in verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, you hear us talk about grace a lot, and you got to have grace, and grace is wonderful. Grace is when God does something for you that you cannot do. Grace is when God steps in and gives you the ability to accomplish what you cannot accomplish on your own. We all need grace. We can't live without it. Mercy is different. Grace and mercy are often combined, but mercy is different from grace. Grace is when God gives you the ability to do, what you cannot earn. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. Now, what do you deserve? Well, let me be very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me, and that's you, and that's everybody you know. The wages of that sin, what you deserve because of that sin, is death, eternal separation from God. By right on my own, I deserve to be cast into a devil's hell. People might question why there is a hell. Well, I don't question it because I know I deserve it. I don't want my rights, though. People, everybody wants their rights. Well, my right is to burn in a devil's hell. I don't want that right. I want what I do not deserve, which means I want mercy. In verse 3, he promises to give those who come to him the sure mercies of David. It is in receiving the sure mercies of David that your soul shall live and you'll receive the everlasting covenant. This goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God makes a covenant with David, and God tells David he's going to pour out his mercy upon him. He's not going to give him what he deserves. He's going to pour out his mercy upon him. And that was a promise that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Acts kind of confirms this for us. Acts 13:34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on his wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David was a picture of the coming life, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. He is saying, I will give you what you need for salvation. You can't earn it. You cannot deserve it. I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. I'm going to give you what Jesus has bought on Calvary. I'm going to give you the life that Jesus has in the resurrection. He's saying, I will give you salvation. I will give you that that you cannot possibly get on your own. Grace and mercy is involved. It is without cost to you. It is not without cost. You may hear a lot in these days when we have a military conflict going on that freedom is not free. Somebody is paying a price. Well, let me tell you, a heavenly home and forgiveness is not free. Jesus paid the price. Verse 4, I have given him for a witness. The him is Jesus. The nation of Israel was meant to be a witness. They were supposed to be a nation of priests, but they failed in that task. They did not fulfill their purpose. The Hebrews could not accomplish what they were meant to do. We have failed in our purpose, and we haven't accomplished what we have been intended to do. On our own, we fail. But God provided Jesus for a witness. God provided Jesus to do what we have failed in doing. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness. We cannot deserve mercy. God offers you salvation, forgiveness, and mercy. And what you cannot earn or buy, he gives you freely in mercy. But you do have to receive it. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, why? That you might receive what Jesus went to the cross to purchase for you. God will give mercies. He gives an invitation for the mercy. He gives an invitation for the minute. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I want you to get that into your mind. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Literally, beat a path to the Lord while he is near. There's an urgency in the invitation. Why is there such an urgency? Because you don't have as much time as you think you have. Most people I talk to have a concept of round to it. They're not going to do anything with God now, but one day they'll get around to it. And so they keep waiting and putting things off. I'm not going to serve God now. I'm not going to come to church now. I'm not going to be in Sunday school now. One day I will get around to it. You know what I find about the majority of those people? They never find around to it. Some have small children and they say, well, when our children get a little older, we'll get around to it. They have problem teenagers. They don't know why they have problem teenagers. They don't understand why their teenagers won't respond to God. Well, they haven't been taking them to church in God's house and They never got around to it. Their teenagers grow up outside of God, outside of God's will, outside of God's purpose. They enter into adulthood totally away from God, and the parents don't understand it. Well, why don't they understand it? They never got around to the things that build God into the hearts of their children. You don't have time to put things off with God. What God calls you to do, He means for you to do now. He doesn't mean for you to wait around till it's on your time. The fact that this invitation says seek the Lord while He is near means there's going to be a time when He's not near. I want Him near all the time. The only time given in Scripture for salvation is this minute. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. He never says later. It's always today. It's always now. The time to mean business with God is now. The time to get on the fire for God is now. The time to talk to your neighbors and your schoolmates and those that you work with about Jesus is now. Today is the day of salvation. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. You may think, I'll be ready later. I'll get around to it later. Well, what if God is not ready for you later? The only time you can come to God is when God, through His Holy Spirit, is willing to reach out to your heart and call you to a move. And if you are thinking about it in your mind, you're thinking you got to get closer to God now, you're thinking you need to be saved now, well, guess what? God's talking to you now. You need to respond to Him now. Now is the time for the wicked to forsake his ways. Well, you may say, I'm not wicked. Oh, wait a minute. All have sinned. If you've sinned, you're wicked. And so we need to forsake the ways that go away from God. We need to put our unrighteousness away, and we need to return to the Lord. This is speaking of repentance. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus. Turn now. You may think, God won't forgive me. I've messed up too much. Oh, I've missed my opportunity. Well, you know what? God tells us in the Bible, He's not us. He doesn't think like you think. While you wouldn't forgive you, you're not God. And God sent Jesus to pay the price to forgive you. Oh, yes. When He calls to you, there's an opportunity for you to accept that call. It's an invitation, but the invitation is not for later. The invitation is for now. You must respond to Him for the minute. It's an invitation for the meaning. My word will go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God gives His word for those who will come to Him. In verse 10, He tells us it's like the rain that gives life to the plants and makes them grow. God's word, the Bible, gives life to us and makes us grow. You want to get closer to God? You get closer to God by being in this book. Why do we make such a deal about Sunday school? Because it's an opportunity for believers to get together with believers like them and get in the book. It is there that we learn God's word and we grow. Why do we spend time with Awanas teaching children God's word? Because God's word in them will never return void. And they may not be listening today, but God's word may slap them upside of the head one day and get their attention. That's what we want to happen. We want people to respond to God's word. Why do we have Vacation Bible School? Hey, Vacation Bible School's coming up in June. Don't wait till then to be talking to every parent you know and get them signed up. We do Bible school for children ages 2 all the way through high school. And let me tell you, it is our greatest time to spend to spend harvesting children and young people and getting them into God's Word. Make it something that you're involved with. This is the time. It's what we should be doing. It helps them learn why they're here, what their meaning is. God wants you to know you're here for a purpose. God wants you to know that you're important to Him. Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. God has a purpose for you, but you only have that purpose when you come to Him. He wants your life to grow and spiritually prosper. This also speaks to you as a witness. When we share God's Word, there's a promise that God's Word will not return void. What if I say the wrong thing? Listen, it's a whole lot better that you try to share God's Word than you worry about what's the wrong thing. If you point somebody to Jesus, listen, Jesus can do an awful lot. No matter what's come out of your mouth, He can take that and He can use it for His good. He says His Word will never return void. Oh my, how precious that is. When you claim God's promises, they will carry you through. Because God's Word has meaning, if you live by it, your life will have meaning. And when you find yourself in your last moments of life, you may question all that you have done. But come back to this point, where I have lived by His Word has meaning. And it will never pass away. And God will use it continually for His glory. There's an invitation for the meaning. And then there's an invitation for the message in verse 13. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So here we are. We're in this chapter of invitation, and the Lord pictures people coming, and all nature is praising God. The rocks are crying out praising God. The mountain is praising God. He will have a sign that will give eternal glory to the work of His salvation. One day, 10,000 years from now, those of us that know Jesus will be together. We will be together in His wonderful glory in heaven, and just sitting around talking to God, we'll say, "Hey, God, will you show us your glory again?" And what God is going to do, He's going to have one of our believers stand up. Maybe a fellow over here that's a believer, he just says, "Stand up." He says, "You see this? This man is a sinner. Because of his sin, he deserves everlasting hell and damnation. He was headed in that direction. There was no hope for him. There's nothing he could do to turn it around. Nothing he could change. He could never earn salvation. Oh, but I sent Jesus. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross for him, was buried, rose again for him. And one day we got his attention, and he realized he was a sinner and he needed a Savior, and he didn't put it off. He asked Jesus to come into his heart and to save his soul. And here he is today, not by his will, not by his work, not by his meaning, but by the glory of God and the power of God to save those that are lost. That's my glory. And he could point to you just as easily if you know God. For you are the glory of God once you enter heaven. And in that glory, we will bask for all eternity. But you got to be there. You got to be there. Which means you have to have accepted the invitation. Would you accept the invitation? If you have never come to Jesus for salvation, walk down this aisle, say, I want Jesus. It's an invitation for you to be saved. If you're online and you want to accept the invitation, you need to bow and ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin, to save your soul. It's an invitation to be saved. Accept the invitation. Oh, I accepted that invitation. Well, great. Are you walking with God? Are you bringing others to God? Oh, I didn't accept that part. Would you accept that part? Believers, would you accept God's invitation to make your life meaningful, to make your life a message, to make your life God's glory? Maybe you just need to come and bow at the altar and put all things in His hands. God can move in your heart. God can move through your life. God can make His invitation turn into His glory that will shine forever in you. Will you come? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the invitation You have laid before us. Father, there are some listening that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, and that is the invitation before them. Let them say yes now. Let them not put it off. Let them not think there's another day. Let them know today is the day of salvation. They need to seek the Lord while He is near, and You are near at this moment. And, oh God, I pray for believers. Father, the only reason this building is not overflowing today is because we as believers have not been faithful to talk to others about Jesus. I pray, God, that there would be a change in our hearts, a change in how we live, a change in how we talk. Father, that there would be a move to Your invitation to a committed life. Father, I thank You for what You'll do as a result. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.